Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Net Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
All right, everybody, we're back. Good to have you still hanging around. We've got a big, long, extended version of the Jay's Play Show on the Golf News Net Radio Network. I am Jay Flemma, and thank you so much for tuning in. It's been a really great show so far. First, we had Jeff Brower on talking about the NHL and talking a little bit about his new golf courses, and then Robert Trent Jones checked in by surprise, sort of a special guest that sort of popped up out of nowhere. I was like, hey, don't forget about me. And he told us a little bit of good news about Chambers Bay getting a future U.S. Open. We talked a little bit about the news about Tiger Woods and his injuries and his possibility that, you know, we may never see him win another major again, and he may be thinking that thought. Bruce Moulton's going to preview the Western Conference of the NHL shortly. But we have another surprise special guest. It's great. It's like Christmas around here. Christmas in October. The doorbell rings and, like, your friends are stopping by with, you know. But instead of dropping by with, like, terrible fruitcakes and bad bottles of booze that you're not going to drink, they're just going to sit there for 20 years, they're dropping by with the sports nuggets. And so let's give a warm Jay's Place welcome to our next surprise special guest. He started with a blog and a dream, and the next thing you knew, he was the lead national blogger on NBA basketball, a man who also traveled to all 30 NBA venues in 30 days. Please welcome back three first names, one sweet dude. It's Peter Robert Casey. How are you, Peter?
Jay, it's an honor, privilege, and always fun. I'm doing very well. How are you tonight?
I'm good, thank you. You know, I've been fending off this cold because it's so freezing cold up here. I've been running 10 miles the last, you know, two of the last 3 days in total, in 29-degree weather. You know, first it's 70, then it's 39, then it's 70, then it's 39. I can't make up my mind. So, you know, we're doing that. But other than that, it's pretty good. We're getting ready for hockey season up here. But I haven't put the golf clubs away either, because I'll be doing some traveling over the winter. How about you? How are things in Riverdale?
Things are tilting towards cold, and today was 70 degrees, though. I won't complain. Today was 70 degrees, but it is getting colder down this way, and that means one thing in my mind, basketball season.
It is upon us, okay? That and football season and hockey season, too. Later on, we'll have to talk a little bit about my football picks for GNN, but since you brought it up, let's get right down to the meat and potatoes of everything. What are you going to be doing this basketball season, and who are you going to be covering, and what should we be watching for?
Sure. I have a few things in the works. One is actually with a large network, not yet fully agreed upon, but it's going to be a This Week in the NBA series, and it's going to be the lighter side of NBA news. And it's a network everyone's heard of, but unfortunately we're not at a point where we can announce that. But in addition to that, I will continue to do a lot of writing for Five Star Basketball, where we focus more on helping motivate and instruct players on how to get better than themselves using the lessons from, you know, news trends from the NBA and also from college basketball as well.
And where can everybody read your stuff?
Absolutely. So you can go to fivestarbasketball.com, spelled out, to read my stuff, and also at the number 5 Star Basketball on Twitter and Instagram as well.
And how about Sports Passport and Hardball Passport and various other travel projects you've been working on for people?
Great question. I'd be remiss if I left that out. So if you go to sportspassport.co, you can check out all of our suite of sites that will let you track every game and stadium you've been to in your entire lifetime across the four major U.S. sports. No offense to golf, Jay, but basketball, baseball, football, and now hockey we just launched only a couple of weeks ago. So get your ticket stubs out. You can track all your games in the past and get your personalized stats so you'll know, for example, if you are good or bad luck for your favorite team.
That's one of the funniest things in sports is to see people who think that they cheat their own team because they were chewing their gum on the right side of their mouth instead of the left side of their mouth. I had a friend of mine throw me out of his room for a while because he thought I was cursing the Patriots. I walked out first. It was the Super Bowl where they got decimated by the Bears. They're down 35-0, and he's like, I don't think you're a loyal enough fan. You got to leave for a couple minutes. And I'm like, we walk outside, and we're arguing about it, and I'm like, this is the stupidest thing you've ever done. You're just drunk. And then, you know, the door opens, one of his pals shouts out, they scored again. If you let him back in now.
Do these superstitions exist in golf? Is this just is this like a baseball, football thing? Does this translate for golf fans too?
It depends on who you ask, and it depends on the IQ of the player. You know, I kind of tend to think that the dumber the guy, the more likely it is that they're going to have these cockamamie. But every once in a while, somebody that you wouldn't expect to, you know, oh, no, whatever you do, don't touch my lucky glove. I know it's filthy, and I haven't washed it in 6 years, and it smells like, you know, the underside of the outhouse toilet. But really, seriously, man, I'm telling you, I get 3 birdies more per 72 holes when I wear this thing. Meanwhile, it's decrepit. It's filthy. Okay? It looks like a petri dish. Yeah. So it really depends on the person. I'm not really superstitious like that. I think it's more practice. You just gotta sit down and put in the hours. It's like free throws. You know, you have to do it. So. Now, you know, it's funny, I hope you will do a golf passport one of these days because, you know, I do have to try to catalog all 429 places that I've played or, you know, and then some. You were asking me a little bit earlier before we started the show about some of the places that I played recently. Sure. I did have a wonderful trip down to New York City last weekend when I got to play Forest Gate and St. George's once again. And I'm going to go back one more time before the snow flies to play National and Wingfoot. So it's my usual end-of-the-year good run. So I'll hopefully be seeing you. How about you? What games are you going to go see right out of the gate?
So right out of the gate, we're very fortunate now with the Barclays Center popping up in Brooklyn a few years back. What has happened is it brought college basketball right back to the forefront. So now they're competing head-to-head with Madison Square Garden in getting these early season tournaments like, you know, Coaches vs. Cancer, the 2K Classic, you name it, the Jimmy V Classic. All these tournaments are taking place at the Garden and Barclays. And with that, they're bringing in a lot of national teams. So very early on, we'll get to see Kentucky and Duke at the Garden. We'll also get to see Virginia. So I'll definitely be at both locations. Now, those are across, you know, right around the Thanksgiving time, only a couple weeks after the season starts, leading all the way into the new year around the Christmas holiday. There's a ton of tournaments going on locally. And then in addition to that, you have your 11 Division I teams in the metropolitan area. So my schedule is jam-packed, and I couldn't be more excited.
Now, what national teams are going to come in? That's interesting. We get a chance to see some teams from some foreign countries. Who's going to be playing against the Americans?
Well, you have – well, not the foreign teams, but you have just national college teams. You have Michigan State coming to town.
I thought you meant you know, Bosnia and England Belarus were going to come swinging on by.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get ourselves
No, you kind of had a good point. It already took place, but they did for the first time ever, Jay, is the EuroLeague decided to create like an American tour. Now, it's very normal where the EuroLeague teams will come here and they'll play against our NBA teams for tune-up games in the preseason, but this is the first year ever that two EuroLeague teams met on U.S. soil, first in Chicago and then in New York City, which I got to attend. It was Maccabi out of Tel Aviv in Israel. Milan. So that was terrific. Now, you know, here's where I think they're making a huge error, and I would love to get your opinion on this. So they think, based on how, for example, soccer interest of the Premier League teams in Europe, you know, fans here are starting to get behind their clubs and you know, tune in on Saturday mornings early. EuroLeague has these same ambitions that U.S. basketball fans are going to somehow kind of adopt a favorite EuroLeague team. I just don't see that translating into basketball, but what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I would have to study the question more in depth. It's a question that will run across many demographics and many age groups. That's the kind of thing that we're going to have to see a few more of these practice, you know, these friendlies, as we call them in soccer, and see how well they take. I would imagine that, you know, we wouldn't mind seeing the game global. I really don't know if we're going to find people in certain areas willing to jump on and say, oh, you know what, I really want to root for Hamburg, you know. They're going to whoop Dusseldorf's ass, you know, or something like that. But you never know. I mean, there's plenty of German expats out there. I was shocked how many people had, for example, German soccer jerseys on. Will it? Maybe. Soccer's more of a global game right now.
Sure.
There is a bit of ethnocentrism in some areas when it comes to basketball. You know, but it's an interesting phenomenon. You know, basketball has taken more of a hold worldwide than American football has. But, you know, it surprises me because American football is so exciting. We'll get a chance to see exactly what the Brits think of the Jags and the Bills this Saturday morning, sorry, Sunday morning at 9:30 when the game is televised live. So that should be interesting to see. I have not yet watched too much of the London experiment, as I like to call it. So, but before we get to my football picks and more thoughts on that, let's get right down to the meat and potatoes. Why don't you break down the Eastern Conference of the NBA for us? You know, you had the Atlanta Hawks take the top spot in the conference, win the whole thing by 7 games, but then it was the Cavaliers that went to the finals and it looked like they were going to take it until the Warriors rattled off 4 straight. So preview the East for us. Who's the beast, who's the least, and who's the surprise?
Good question. So right now, according to Vegas, they have all the dollars are pointing towards the Cleveland Cavaliers for a couple of reasons, Jay, as you probably know. One is Kevin Love is back. He's healthy. He was a key component that they were missing last year when they made the finals run because he brings a couple of elements to the table, which are really important in you know, 7-game series, playoff basketball, rebounding, right? He grabs a ton of boards. He's also what they call a stretch four, where he can shoot out from the perimeter, right, and kind of drag out these larger defenders out to the perimeter. And then what that does is open up the middle for the drivers as well. So they missed him greatly last year. And also Kyrie Irving went down with a knee injury. And once he's back and healthy, along with Anderson Barajau, another key rebounder, right now they are, I believe, head and shoulders above the rest of the Eastern Conference. Second place, I think you mentioned the team already, the Atlanta Hawks. They lost a key piece in Damari Carroll, who went north up to Toronto, and he was a glue guy. This guy was a real impact player, double-digit scorer, but he did all of the nitty-gritty things that coaches love. That without him, and even though they got some other pieces like Tiago Splitter, I just don't think that they have enough firepower, them or the Chicago Bulls, to get past Cleveland Cavaliers out of the Eastern Conference. So they are the heavy favorites coming out of the East. The least, oh man, there are some poor teams in the Eastern Conference. Let's start with the Philadelphia 76ers, right? And this is becoming a perpetual story. It's just like, what are they doing? Sure, they're building assets, but at the same time, they seem to be giving away assets. Michael Carter Williams is one of those guys who is blossoming into a triple double threat every night. And now he's on Milwaukee with a great young core. But the Sixers, the Magic, the Hornets, these teams are atrocious. And, they're going to be tough to watch. I'll give the Knicks some credit. You know what? I like Porzingis. At the fourth pick, I went to the draft. They booed him in traditional New York fashion. But that said, if you watch the guy, he can do a lot of things. But New Yorkers need to be patient, something they're not good at, Jay. You know this from living down this way.
So true. So true. They have to win, and they have to win right now.
They have to win right now. And then let's get to the last question. Who is the surprise team coming out of the East? Now, the Miami Heat right now, they have the pieces, right? You have 2 future Hall of Famers in Bosch and Wade. They could be a top 3 seed if things go right, and they could fall all the way down to becoming an 8 seed in the Eastern Conference. They're one of these question marks, but being optimistic, I'm going to pencil them in as the one surprise team coming out of the East this season.
You know, that's a wide range, but it is an improvement from their 10th place finish in the conference last year and their mediocre 6-10 division record. Part of the problem is that they were very good at home. They were sub-500 at home.
That's a huge problem. I mean, you have to take care of business at home because, as you know, winning on the road in the NBA is very difficult. So, you know, odds are stacked against you. So if you're not taking care of business at home, you know, it's very hard season after season to really churn out W's on the road in these hostile environments when you have travel legs, you know, especially with all the back-to-backs that NBA, you know, teams play. It's really tough to win on the road. So
that's why 76ers were so bad. They were a dismal 12-29 in Philly.
They were horrendous across the board. And, you know, they just have bad luck too, right? Joel Embiid, you have this top pick who's, again, going to be out for the entire season. That said, though, they drafted Jahlil Okafor, who I believe is going to be the rookie of the year. He's the one guy right now who has the physical tools. He's NBA ready. He has a low post game, which you don't see anymore, which is like a dinosaur these days. It's the guy with a back to the basket game. And so his hands are massive. He can actually pass the ball out of the post. Right now, his biggest weakness, and everyone criticized him heavily during March Madness, is his defense, right? He's very slow footed laterally, but he's going to be an impact player for them. He's an exciting low post player. I think he'll be rookie of the year, so he'll give some, you know, Philadelphia fans hope. But, you know, they're still a long ways away, Jay.
Now, you raise a fascinating question there, Peter. For our listeners that really want to learn the ins and outs of the game, trace for us the way basketball has been played at the NBA level. Since Michael Jordan left, trace for us its sort of, you know, the ideas that people, you know, went to for offense and defense, you know, low post game, you know, boxing one. But how do people now, how has the game changed over time in, say, the last 15 years to the game that we see now?
Well, the NBA is a copycat league, so with whatever team wins, the rest of the league tries to align all of its resources through free agency, through the draft, through trade to fit that, you know, that winning team's philosophy. So for example, if you look just at recent history, right? Last season, the Golden State Warriors were our champions. They played small ball, right? Which in the NBA was taboo. Like everything was always built around big men, right? Low post, you know, start inside and work your way outside. But the Warriors have shown that a guy like Draymond Green, who was always an undersized big, even at Michigan State, and they won it all. And they do it with what they call pace and space, right? A lot of ball movement. These are like Mike D'Antoni philosophies. A lot of ball movement. You have impeccable shooters and guys like Curry and Klay Thompson, right? They have great shooters. They have specialists, guys who can lock down like Iggy. They had David Lee, who was a specialist off the bench. He's now gone on Boston. But so more recently, Jay, it's about pace and space. Everything is analytics driven and, you know, corner threes, pick and rolls, like creating these disadvantage moments. But to go back to when Jordan retired, back then, you know, he was, you know, Phil Jackson was a master of the triangle offense, all the system.
That's right,
offense.
The triangle offense.
So you're trying to fit these pieces into your system. And that was big for a while. You know, in the 90s, everything was about defense, and it was a very ugly game. It was very physical, those early 90s basketball, like between the Knicks and the Heat, and the Knicks and the Bulls.
That's right, those 63-60 games.
It was a smash-mouth basketball. So not only does the game change, the rules change, the philosophies change. It's all, to me, driven by what team wins it. So, like, for example, the Spurs the year before, the Spurs system was also very, very European. It was like ball movement, spacing. It was just, you know, 6-7 passes before you take a good quality shot. So we've seen a lot of changes over the years. I think the biggest thing we've seen is, like, the players I don't think, honestly, are as fundamentally sound as they were, but they're a lot more athletically gifted than ever. And so it's a very much an above-the-rim game these days. It's unbelievable.
Now, explain to us just a little bit more in depth exactly how those five little guys were able to turn a big league on its ear. What did they do right?
Well, one, they averaged a lot of possessions, right? So they got the ball up the court quickly, got into their offense very quickly. Movement without the ball. So, for example, you know, if Curry has the ball up top, there are a lot of actions going around, like back screens and different kind of flare cuts, where everybody is moving and creating space and creating like these misdirections that leave the defense. What happens is once you start moving a lot, guys without the ball move a lot. That's when the defense starts making mistakes, right? They get tired.
Especially in a man-to-man league.
Especially in a man-to-man league. And they're doing this very quickly. And when you have two lethal outside shooters in Curry and Clay.
All they need is just one crack at daylight.
That's all they need is one crack at daylight. And then they have guys who play their role very, very well. Like even a guy like Andrew Bogut, who was a big guy, started 66 games. You know, he did his thing too, but they move the ball really well. They shoot the ball really well. And then defensively, Steve Kerr instilled in them to really, you know, lock in and get stops. So they have all the pieces. And I think this year, I don't care what Vegas says, I think everything has to go through them as the favorites.
All right, one more question before we go to break. One team we haven't talked about, we got lots of people that love talking about them and listening about them and watching them. How about those Boston Celtics?
Well, Brad Stevens right now is one of the best young up-and-coming coaches in the league. He's highly respected by both players and his peers and front offices around the league. And because what he does, Jay, is he puts teams together that overachieve, right? They had no business being in the playoffs last year, and they really didn't turn things around until the second half of the season. And what Danny Ainge, the general manager, is doing is he's getting guys who fit that Brad Stevens mold, right? These are guys like who are gritty defensively. They're in your face. They're tough. They're guys you don't want to play against, and they go to war and they go to battle, all these cliches, but it's really true with that team. I mean, you got a young guy like Marcus Smart, who a lot of, when he was at Oklahoma State, people were saying he's one of the most competitive, he had that competitive fire in him that you don't really see in a lot of guys. And then his peer in the backcourt, Avery Bradley, is one of the best on-the-ball defenders in the league, best perimeter defenders in the league. And then in the front court, you know, they're undersized, but they do have guys like Kelly Olynyk, really fundamentally sound guys like him, who can also stretch the floor. Jared Sullinger, who is a little bit out of shape, but he grabs a ton of rebounds. And one thing they don't have, Jay, is they don't have a go-to scorer right now. It's their biggest weakness. I mean, they brought in Isaiah Thomas, a great point guard, but they don't have a superstar. So they're like I said, they're overachieving. I think they'll be a playoff team again, but right now they're building their assets, which is really smart because they need to make a trade. They don't usually do well through the draft. They haven't done so, you know, since Bird years. So they're trying to build their assets to make a big trade, but a couple of years out from being a contender.
All right, you're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network. I am Jay Fleming. You can check out jayfleming.com and thegolfnewsnet.com. We're talking with Peter Robert Casey of Sports Passport. And one more time, the new website for your stuff's going to be?
So you could check out, I'm also doing work with Five Star Basketball, F-I-V-E spelled out, starbasketball.com. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, the number 5 Star Basketball.
All right, we're going to be back in just 1 minute. DJ Q is going to take you through this short commercial break. We will be right back after this.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back in the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Place on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.